This is a podcast from WGBH Radio Boston. Hear more at wgbh.org/classical.
We have Nikola Tesla to thank for pioneering discoveries that paved the way for modern electrical engineering. Louis Pasteur made groundbreaking discoveries into the world of microbiology. And then there was Nicholas Slonimsky, a pioneer who made breakthroughs conducting modern music. This week on Classical Connections, we meet the late Nicholas Slonimsky.
When I was a child, my mother used to call me a genius, and I hated that word genius. I didn't even understand what the word meant in the Russian or any other language, but I didn't want to be attached to any kind of little geniuses who wore short pants and they thought they were wonderful, because I didn't want to be like that. I wanted to be common.
Reluctant genius is probably the better description of Nicholas Slonimsky. As much as he avoided association with that word, it continues to be used in reference to him, even after his death in 1995. Classical Connections producer Michelle Sweet interviewed Nicholas Slonimsky in February of 1994, when he was 99 years old. By then a faded and forgotten champion of modern music, he nonetheless made an indelible mark on the classical music world. How? Well, one of the first ways was the 1931 premiere of Three Places in New England by Charles Ives, which Slonimsky conducted with his Chamber Orchestra of Boston at Town Hall in New York. Slonimsky had come to Boston in 1925 to be the rehearsal pianist for the great Serge Koussevitzky. Not too bad a position for a young, aspiring conductor.
I had been employed by Koussevitzky, the conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. I mean, I was practiced for him. That is, I played the piano part while he conducted, because he was a genius in conducting.
Slonimsky impressed Koussevitzky with his ability to memorize music and to maintain proper tempos of even the most difficult modern pieces.
I established myself as a person who could conduct anything, and particularly several pieces at the same time, like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, simultaneously 1-2-1-2, 1-2-1-2, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. And so nobody could do it at that time. Koussevitzky couldn't do it, and Koussevitzky was a great conductor, and he couldn't do it.
Which is how Slonimsky met Charles Ives, through a mutual friend.
And so Henry Cowell told me that I ought to look into music by Charles Ives, and then I met Charles Ives in New York, and the rest is history, as you say. And he said that nobody could conduct his music because it was difficult and so forth, but I was still in my 20s, and anything that was difficult and unusual and so forth, he had an extra attraction for me.
Ives had composed Three Places in New England between 1911 and 1914, but the work sat dormant because no one could handle the very difficult, conflicting rhythms that are called for in the middle movement, Putnam's Camp.
And then along comes Slonimsky in 1930 and tries to figure out how to do these things. He thought the music was good, and he worked out ways to count.
Professor and composer John Heiss is an Ives scholar.
He even learned how to conduct four in the left hand and three in the right hand at the same time. Stayed up all night, he said, drinking coffee with a towel around his head in order to make himself learn this. But it helped him through the letter H in the second movement of Three Places in New England, where the two bands get going at the different tempos.
Oh, he's quite a hero of mine.
Composer and conductor Gunther Schuller is also an ardent admirer of Nicholas Slonimsky.
And I always deplored the fact that Nicholas sort of gave up his conducting career. I mean, he didn't give it up entirely, but he certainly never became a famous touring conductor.
And why this was the case has been something of a lingering question. He had the technical prowess and dedication.
But it didn't work. It didn't work. I could conduct all kinds of things, but I lacked apparently a relationship with the orchestra, or I was too stiff, or whatever it was. But anyway,
whatever it was enough to cause Slonimsky to give up conducting. But he continued to play many important roles in his long life as a champion of modern music, as a groundbreaking writer, and, of course, as the innovative conductor who brought one of the 20th century's most daunting pieces to life. It all points back to that word he so vehemently spent a lifetime trying to avoid, John Heiss.
Slonimsky was a genius to come up with both the sense that this was urgently necessary and that a great musical result would come from solving these problems, and then to work out a method of solving them.
A gift to the musical world from Nicholas Slonimsky, Reluctant Genius. I'm Brian McCreath for Classical Connections.
Classical Connections is produced by me, Michelle Sweet, at WGBH Radio, and made possible by an NEA American Masterpieces grant through the Massachusetts Cultural Council. WGBH Radio has another great podcast featuring live performances from our Fraser Performance Studio. It's called Classical to Go. Visit wgbh.org/classical to subscribe and to see all of WGBH Radio's classical music offerings. That's at wgbh.org/classical and look for Classical to Go.